Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. We're Better Off for All That We Let In is an Indigo Girls song. I'm a huge fan. And through the years when I heard that song, when I had repression, I felt the sentiment of the song. I resonated with it. But really, I was living my life as if it's more about not letting people in, but knowing who and what I am. So I went on a spiritual path to discover that. And I had buried anger, so I wasn't busy working on like depthful, meaningful, authentic connection and relationship. I was trying to wake up from the need to ever do anything like that or to deal with any childhood needs that I may or may not have, but frankly, I was ignoring all that. I just wanted to be enlightened. And yet, I would listen to Indigo Girls songs that were actually about relationship and something very meaningful and deep and worth living for. But yet, even though I resonated with that, it just scared me so much. Now I know. To truly let people in. So music became, not only listening to it, but writing it became like a substitute for living authentically. I still write music, but it's not as a substitute for authenticity, and it's not coming from trauma. I now know that what I was resonating with in these Indigo Girls songs wasn't different than the awakening. It's just that I never knew how to do relationship in an awake way. So when I would listen to those songs, I would resonate around what they were talking about or any song, but it scared me to let people in. And in fact, in my life, even though I resonated with that song, when you looked at my life at that time, I wasn't letting anyone in. I mean, I really haven't let until this work truly let people in since I was bullied when I was a kid. And I became a loner. And that's what led me to spirituality, that disconnection that I talk about, which is such a part of an avoidant spiritual path. When we're already disconnected, when we come to spirituality because of me buried anger, that disconnection is going to stay there because those emotions are buried. And no matter how much I want to be free, I certainly can't be free. I can't live and embody it if I'm going to ignore these buried emotions and the needs. And so, yeah, it was a grave error, you could say, or just part of my journey, that I avoided letting my realization be truly embodied like so many people do. I didn't come for that. I came for the ascension, not the embodiment, until I realized that it's the embodiment that makes the difference. That's it. It's the awakening and being awareness doesn't make the difference. It makes some difference, of course, but it doesn't end suffering for the vast majority of people, and it didn't me. And it also didn't own or it didn't end my disconnection and relationship. All my life, I didn't know that the reason I wasn't letting people in is the fear of expressing anger and then being humiliated or rejected by being my more authentic self. So I devoted all of my spiritual time and energy essentially trying to avoid buried anger. That's what I'm telling people. You have no idea what's really driving all this until you process buried emotions. And until then, you'll think a lot of things. I don't know what all you have believed, but I have believed before that I let everyone in. And there's no such thing when you have repression. I had to believe that so I could continue to be good and get love and approval in the eyes of others. And I paid such a high price for that with those diseases that came from that repression. There's all kinds of things. I'll go into that. And then I want to give you a story that's real for me. But there's all kinds of things that people will believe, I've noticed, when it comes to real intimacy and vulnerability and how that plays into a spiritual path. I mean, one of them is like, well, like me, I just denied the issue. Or I would say things that weren't true, like, yeah, awakening is about letting everything be and letting everyone in, although there really is no me or you. You know, I just had words. I was dancing around real authenticity because I didn't know what it was like to let everything be. You can't when you have buried anger. And so if I was saying I'm letting everything be, that was false to get your love and approval and to stay safe again from the buried anger. You will see that theme here, that repression drives suffering. And until we look at it, we might think we're letting people in, or we might think, like I did, it's not important because I'm going to wake up in this lifetime. I'm going to see beyond separation, and relationship is just separation. We can believe any number of those things, but the body keeps the score even on all of it, on the awakening itself. The mind isn't running it. It's the fear that we inherited from our parents and collectively, and that we've had to store in our bodies because we have buried emotions. Let me tell you a story. This is not a fictitious story. This is a story that I've encountered quite a few times in close relationships after I processed buried anger. And it had to do with being in relationships with anger repressors, which acted as a mirror for me to show me what I was doing in relationship before this work. It's often why I talk about it, because I have the most experience with my own experience. I can't really tell you what it's like to like not let people in because you're afraid of the feeling of hurt or expressing sadness. That really wasn't my issue. I was afraid to get hurt. But that's because I couldn't express anger. I couldn't defend myself. I was powerless. And it wasn't because I couldn't feel and express hurt. Sometimes it was really because I couldn't go to anger, that I couldn't let people in. I've been saying to people, buried anger produces the fear of anxiety. If that's your repression, you can't be authentic. If you can't be authentic, you just can't allow everything because you have buried emotions, and you can't let everyone in because you have to stay safe from those buried emotions. You have to get love. And so in every relationship in which we have repression, we're trying to get our needs met. It's innocent, but we're always doing it as long as we have repression. We then cannot let people in, no matter what we're telling ourselves. It's a matter of survival. I can't let you in if I have buried anger. I might have to be avoidant, actually, and get away from you the closer that we are. Self-protection is running things. Survival. Secondarily, we might want love, or authentic love, or mutuality, communication, authenticity. But no, I mean, we can't trust the mind that's telling stories. We have to go to the body that keeps the score. So as I did my work with buried anger, I had a few relationships with people who repressed anger, and some of them did the work and some didn't. And my relationship with them was so telling as to why anger repressors cannot let others in. It is not about vulnerability quite often. In fact, I've watched two anger repressors, including myself and others, be really vulnerable with each other, but never angry, and so therefore not authentically vulnerable. It can even be like a codependent, like, love fest, where, you know, I'm going to agree with everything that you're saying, and you're going to agree with everything that I'm saying, and we're never going to say no to each other, really, or take each other on or disagree. So we're doing the exact same thing that we were doing with our parents, with the people closest to us. Just because of the fear of conflict. And when I watched these people, when I no longer had that fear of conflict, and I watched my anger repressing friends, I just saw them give up their power completely and pretend, just like I had. And it was frustrating at first, and I let them know, and they didn't always like that, right? Because it's like, no, this is my self-protection. I don't want to be called out. I don't want you to pick up the brick on this. But to be in a relationship with somebody who represses anger, you have to pick up the brick, because they're not going to. And they'll just keep creating suffering and then denying that they're doing it, which is what makes it frustrating. And it's okay to be frustrated. No, it's good to find the anger underneath, actually, when you're an anger repressor, to be authentic. Because what I had to say to them is, like, I know that you don't realize that you're, like, to you, your anger repression looks like procrastination. It looks like, I just didn't feel like doing it, but I'll get back to you. It just looks like, well, I'm not saying no. Or it looks like, you know, I pretty much go along with everybody. I agree. It's like, we don't know who you are in relationship. And people didn't know who I was. And so when I'm with anger repressors, it's always this, like, this disconnection energetically. Like, you're there, but you're not there. And you're acting like you're listening, but you're not, because you never, like, disagree with me. So, like, anybody who's really listening would disagree every now and then. But anger repressors can't. So I can't feel them. And in some cases, I even have to set a boundary with them, because if I start to be more authentic, they get scared, and then their trigger comes up, and then it's about their beliefs and stories, which they don't realize how self-centered that is, because I'm just here wanting connection with you, but you're self-protecting. And then you might even blame me in the trigger, and that's where I set the boundary. It's like, no, your triggers come from your anger repression. Nobody's responsible for your suffering but you. But anger repressors can't see it. They'll use a trigger both as a shield and a weapon from what's authentic. It's like, you can sit there and be defensive from your buried anger and your projections or your intellectual response to the trigger, and none of that is real. Because I know you're angry. You can't fool someone who's been fooling someone all their life from buried anger who's done that work. And that's why boundaries have to happen. Not that I'm afraid of anger repressors. Are you kidding me? They're afraid of people. No, it's that it's about clear communication. I'm not responsible for your pain. You're making me responsible. That actually is a total sabotage of our relationship, for you to trigger something on to me or shadow it onto me that's all about Dad. So what I see with my anger repressing friends even is, like, they're shadowing Dad onto me sometimes, because that's what they do to everyone. It's like, well, you make the decisions. Yeah, whatever you want. What do you just tell me what we should do and I'll do it. Oh yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, let's do that. And then, like, secretly, anger repressors who don't even know it, they're seething at Dad their whole life. And so they're seething at me. But then on the face of it, they're just being friendly. See, that's a boundary. Because at some point, when you treat me as Dad and you're being really false with me, that's going to be your trauma coming onto me. And although I can process triggers, we all learn how to do that, that's not what life is about only. It's just processing something that appears at the surface to protect people from being authentic. So I might say, you know what? This is how I feel when you're doing that. That actually is, it's like very manipulative or controlling. And, you know, instead of saying that, because they might not be able to handle it because they can't see it, I might just set a boundary and say, you know what? I'm going to come back to you. I have some things to say to you, but I don't want to upset you because I've already upset, you know, and I know where it comes from. And I don't want to hurt you. That's not where I'm coming from. By being myself, it's not the intention to hurt people. But people who have anger repression think that being their authentic self will somehow hurt people. So it gets shadowed out. You know, I've lost some relationships with hurt and sadness repressors. No, no, with anger repressors. Is it because, why is that? Oh, I've lost some relationships of hurt and sadness repressors too, but it's because you'll see it too. Like, you just see yourself so much more clearly after this work. Like, you can't unsee it. You see all your strategies, all your fucking falseness, your narcissism. Oh my God, the rage. You guys, it's buried. We're walking around as good, peaceful, empathetic, false egos is what's going on. And like, here's where people go, well, I'm not. I'm like, no, that's the falseness right there. It's not connected to your body to see if you have rage. Like, authenticity is different than that. It's actually feeling and expressing what's true. And when you can't do that, you get a pass because that was your trauma. But as an adult, you don't keep getting a pass. Because, look, even if your parents are like being exposed to mold, at some point, once you're sick, it's your responsibility. And if you can't take it, if you can't own that responsibility, that really buried anger is the reason that you're suffering, then other people don't have to put up with it. They really don't. You know, we anger repressors, we get a pass by a lot of people because we don't get angry and we don't seem overtly controlling or manipulating because it's covert. It's like a trigger that protects me from telling you what's really true. So it looks like I'm triggered, but I'm really just staying safe and being false. That story that's coming up is not really me. But yet, do I have the consciousness? Do I have the earnestness to see that? Or am I just going to believe my triggers and then put my shit on you? You see, that's pretty aggressive. It's just really unconscious. If anger repressors understood how much rage is behind a trigger of feeling hurt or freezing, it would change everything for them because they could take ownership. But as it stands, other people in relationship have to take responsibility for you. And some people just get triggered with you because they're not conscious and clear enough, but I won't. Because I'll just say, boundary, I'm not going here again with somebody that I actually love. I'm not going into the need for love and safety with you. Not if that's all that you want. Because I can't give it to you. You've got to give it to yourself. You feel unsafe, anger repressors, and you have anxiety and other things. Look at the science, because you're afraid of your authenticity. That part of yourself that you've buried, that's the reason you're afraid of intimacy too. That's it. But when we're in relationship with you, when we sit and listen to you say that you have anxiety or chronic pain, many of us know better. Some people just have a sense because they don't do their work, but some of us know that that's what you have to do to survive because you're not showing up. And a lot of us anger repressors, we fall into victim consciousness too. It's just so safe because stuff happened to us. Y'all, I was bullied for 3 years by some really mean people. And I felt like a hated, shameful faggot most of my life. I know what it feels like. It's not who we are. No matter what happened to you. But you have to have the earnestness to not land on the world is doing this to me. I'm somehow just a victim of all of this, not knowing how you created from buried anger. But see, you can't just keep doing that. You can't really do it. And you can, but you're going to suffer. You can't keep saying that you don't know where your victim consciousness comes from. You can't really say, oh, I wonder where my triggers come from. Because in 2024, we've got science, we've got KI, we've got other methods. The question is, will you take responsibility on your spiritual path? Will you take responsibility in your relationships? Stop blaming the angry hurt repressor. It won't get you anywhere. Stop shadowing out to the narcissist, the grandiose narcissist. That's your shadow. You have covert narcissism. That's why you're so interested. All the big bad people, that's you. All the bullies in the world, that's you. You buried it. You can't be free until you own it all. And I don't even care if you're triggered. That's just how you stay safe from the buried anger. You've probably learned a way to process the trigger, like I did, so you could stay safe from the buried. So you'll get over it. Even the shame that I make you feel if I do here, you'll get over that too. Because that's what we do as anger repressors. We just keep managing, 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 and not knowing, seeing, and being free because of the seeing. I hope this triggers you, actually. Hope it does. Because there's a lot of people in relationship with you, they're afraid to trigger you. Because anger repression is so controlling. For me, it had a grooming effect. Like, when I would meet people, I would never say it consciously because it was too covert, but they knew they couldn't get angry at me because the first time they did it, I did my anger repression response. And that was like saying, I'm fucking angry at you, but I'm scared too, and I'm going to leave if you don't stop. I couldn't say any of that. So I would just say, I'm hurt. Or I wouldn't say anything. I'd be frozen. You know, I couldn't just sit there and play the victim in that when I was creating my own suffering. The triggers, my God, the triggers that anger repressors will look at in spirituality all to avoid buried anger is mind-boggling. When I look at all the techniques out there that are helping you with the anxiety coming from buried anger, look at the science. With depression, coming from buried anger, look at the science, ChatGPT. Addiction, coming from buried anger, ChatGPT, the science. Freezing, fleeing, ChatGPT, look at the science. I'm telling you, don't keep your head buried in the sand. I know I helped you do it as a teacher. I am so sorry. If it's one thing I regret more than anything in this lifetime is doing that. I didn't know any better, and neither do you and your unconsciousness, but it does not relieve you of the responsibility in this lifetime. We all have it. This species will never evolve unless we realize we all have this emotional responsibility that we're shadowing out. And I'll say one more thing, just in case you're not triggered yet, because I really want to stir things up in 2025, even if people leave, because they should leave. Some relationships should end and other ones should begin. That's what authenticity is. I can never be that kind of teacher. Do you know why I talk like this? Because I feel nothing but love most of the time. But love just doesn't look like the shit that I was portraying. The falseness, the overload of empathy, the compassion out my ass. All from a buried fear. So it's time for realness because people are suffering, even if people don't like it. So I'll say this, the spiritual path, people with buried anger, it's driven by the buried anger. You know that you're seeking because you don't want to feel something, and that's what it is. And all you have to do to link up all these forms of suffering, or begin to, is take our test at repressiontest.com. And then you start, and even if you don't come to KI, because that's free, then when you sit down in meditation, you can't continue to have your head buried in the sand. People are falling asleep in the awakeness by never processing buried emotions. They just bamboozle themselves in present moment awareness. And you can't see it until you live it and process it. But I'm here to teach you and tell you it's happening all over the world. A massive systemic bypass from people who were already seeking because their bodies felt terrified at an unconscious level that they couldn't feel where the buried anger was. That created a seeking for anything and everything, drugs, people, you know how it works, attention, praise, approval, enlightenment. It's all the same. Buried emotions. When we get on an enlightenment path, we really fucking fool ourselves because we have to be good anyway and we have to be peaceful. And if we go to enlightenment, perfect projection to keep suffering. And then along the way, we might discover awareness and then we think we've got it because we never wanted to feel the buried anger. And the seeking was never really about true liberation when we have buried anger. It's always about safety and getting love. And if we can wake up to presence, just like I did, and turn around to you guys and say, I'm awake. Don't you love me? Childhood needs are met. I'm safe. I have buried anger, but I'm awake. The need for safety is met. But I'd be the last to know, because it was my buried anger. And you'll be the last to know, unless you proactively take our tools and discover it, or something like that, that will actually show it to you. And this comes from, because, you know, now having relationships with anger repressors and having done this work, you get to a place where you just want to be honest. You know, how much suffering can people take in relationship or on a spiritual path and stay quiet, even if it's upsetting to others? If you're interested in doing this work, and I don't talk to people like this during mentorship. I don't even mentor people that I would have to talk this way to, because that's more of a boundary. When people are really ready, they come forth. And that's who I'm looking for, the people that are really ready. So there's the KI Jumpstart group. There's a link in the description if you want to learn it in a group setting. It's 1 month of mentorship. But since I'm asking you not to come talk to me about that, just read the description really well and see if it's the right fit. But many people are going there. The same link will give you access to the one-on-one chat with me, and it's free. And that's just if you're serious about, or seriously thinking about, some version of one-on-one mentorship with me. I think that's it. Well, if you're not interested in any of that, you can take the test, as I said, repressiontest.com, and then you're on our newsletter, and you have the most direct access to what we're doing then. Thank you.